Is everyone present?
Yes, we'll go on to the, and hold on, I'm just checking on questions here.
I think the next one's building inspection.
Building inspection, correct. What page are we on?
Building inspection is page 37 of the budget page, budget book, and 24 of the personnel supplement. And relative to building, again, Mr. President, members of the council, we reduced it last year almost 3%. This year, we reduced it by almost 12%. 11.57. We went from 1,043 to 923,055. And I've got to tell you, Mr. DeCourt has done an excellent job as a director in that department. I can't take credit for hiring him, but I'm glad he stayed with this administration. I'm very pleased with his work ethics and his fine work that he does for us.
Okay, so there's a reduction in the building department also?
Yes, of about 12%, 11.57%. And if you take it with last year's deduction over a two-year period, it's almost like a 14% reduction overall over the last 2 years. And again, it's doing more with less, and they're getting the job done. We've got some competent people there. They're working hard, and we go forward. It's all about sacrificing right now, and hopefully times will change where we'll be a little more fluid, where we can expand upon things.
Very good. Is there any questions regarding the reduction in the building inspectors department? Any questions from council members?
Yes, Mr. President.
Yes, Councilman Lattisaw.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me. Those reductions in the building department, are those reductions impacting any revenue generating positions?
I don't believe revenue is jeopardized by any reductions in that department, sir. Councilman, as we all know, and especially you must know, people, those who've set funds aside doing things to improve their properties, and we haven't had any complaints relative to permit issuances or income for permits or applications. As I stated, Mr. DeCourt does an excellent job, and he's a great manager over there. He's got a great team.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions from the, hold on one sec, because my screen just went. There we go. So there any other questions from council members? If not, I see there's a member of the public. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak? If not, there are no members of the public that want to speak. We'll move on to the police department.
Yes, Mr. President, honorable members of the council. The next several items, police grants, Board of Public Safety, alcohol and highway, and crime, all appear from page 26 through 32. However, on our budget report, the annual proposed budget report, it shows us a single line item, which basically shows, even with the board, 0.06%, as opposed to last year, which was an increase of 3.32%. Colonel Rathman, the deputy chief, the majors, they've done a terrific job over there. It's easy to just load a place up with bodies, but it's not bodies you want. You want qualified personnel. And they really have been slowly building the force and to a larger complement, but we're still far behind where we should be. I believe we're up to maybe, I think we're up to 153 officers right now. But every time they've come to us for requests for cars or equipment, things of that nature, they're understanding, knowing the resources that we have. We were going to embark on purchasing of automobiles, but I'm hoping that there will be some sort of federal stimulus package coming from Washington to help us do not just police, but public safety items and apparatus, since of the wear and tear that things have been taking relative to the COVID crisis. In addition, the leadership over there, Colonel Rathman, has expanded forces and allocated a lot of, acquired and allocated a lot of, let's say, surplus equipment for the Marine area patrol, something that having the most Marines within the state of Rhode Island and the most slips is much needed. We have 39 miles of coastline. So they're a fine example of doing more with less. You know, when the colonel became the colonel, he had some big shoes to fill. Colonel McCartney did a great job. Colonel Rathman, you know, slid right into that position, into those shoes. Major Lucci Deputy Chief Lucci and Major Gilbert and Major Micheletes, who I know all appear before the council on numerous occasions when they come for their purchases. You can see how well they shop and scrutinize prices and quality and what's absolutely needed. And again, another great director, well, great colonel, and a great department that I'm proud to, as mayor of the city of Warwick, to lead, head up.
Okay, so do we have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question, Mr. President.
Yes.
Yeah, my question, and it could be either the colonel or the mayor, but I see that there's been a big difference with the dispatchers over time. And how did that come about? Is it less people, or it seemed like there's a big drop?
Well, Colonel, first of all, Councilwoman, it's a pleasure to hear your voice. I think it's the, I can see you just a little square in front of us, but I'm going to defer, as I've always deferred, to the operation of the police department to Colonel Rathman to answer that question for you.
Okay.
Colonel, please, if you could.
Hi, Colonel. Certainly, Mayor. Hi, Councilwoman. So in reference to the dispatcher overtime, dispatcher salary, we have a maximum complement of 16 dispatchers. We're currently operating with 12 dispatchers that are fully trained and certified and one trainee. At one point last year, we went down to a 10 available dispatchers based upon long-term leaves, illnesses, et cetera. So you'll notice that while that overtime budget number is high, you look at the salary, that's considerably lower than what was budgeted. So when we look at those in the totality of the salaried amount versus the overtime budgeted amount, we still see that we're below going over budget for total in both categories, Councilwoman.
Good. Thank you very much.
Council President?
Yes. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. Colonel, I know earlier in the year, you guys did a membership drive. How did that go? And has people started on the force from that membership drive, or are they going through the academy? was the academy suspended or anything with the COVID crisis?
So we're currently in conversation with the police academy for the upcoming class in July. We anticipate sending somewhere between 5 and 10 bodies. We're waiting on the final answer on that. In reference to the recruitment drive, those numbers have been completed. We have an eligibility list, and we're working on roughly a dozen or more conditional offers of employment, which basically allows us to complete backgrounds at various intervals in hopes that the police academy, in some modified fashion with the pandemic, will allow us to send bodies to bring us back the complement.
Okay. And do you have an estimate on the people that are eligible for retirement, or how many you almost expect to retire?
So I can tell you that I have, we have 9 vacancies as it stands right now. And I have one officer who has indicated his intent to retire in the summer. This is pre-COVID. This is anything to do with the pandemic specifically. I don't have any other additional officers right now. We're starting to catch up with the youth of the force. So in terms of availability of people who are pension eligible, the youth of the force, the young men and women who work here, the lack of eligibility has kind of helped us curtail some of those mass exoduses. But as of right now, I can tell you definitively, we have the 9 vacancies already plus the 1 that has indicated.
Okay. And service contracts. I know you come before us a lot. You do a lot of good work on these service contracts. They do a different program that helping you. I know fingerprint things, different stuff like that. Is it with these service contracts you have? I know you also have the grants in there, and you go for a lot of grants, and you guys get a lot of grants. Is that part of the service contracts in here? Are those the ones you already know you have that are line itemed here, and then you're going for additional ones? Can you use these grants for these service contracts?
So service contracts, kind of a couple different facets here. We're looking at one of the things we've done in the last 24 months or so since the mayor's been in office and working in conjunction with the city administration is modernizing operations here in the police department. So whether it's workforce software, whether it's early warning system, training, internal affairs, we've really stopped killing trees, so to speak, reduced paper and gone to these computer programs, which are tied into that. Additionally, our computer forensics side of the house and detectives is robust. It requires us to maintain those service contracts. Grants will be independent. When we get to alcohol and highway safety, I can give you some promising numbers as it relates to that specifically. But we're constantly looking. As the mayor mentioned, we're focused on surplus items. Those 2 vessels we got from DEM are great indications of that. And then additionally, in the current pandemic, we're working with the Department of Justice in a $49,000 award for pandemic-related equipment expenses, et cetera. So it's kind of all tied in, but not quite to the point with service contracts specifically.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Colonel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from council members on the police department budget? Any questions from council members? If not, are there any questions from members of the public? And if there are questions from members of the public, if they could identify themselves. Any questions from members of the public, if you could identify yourself? If not,
Mr. President?
Yes.
Thank you. Could we ask that the lights be turned on in the chamber, please?
Yes. If someone from the department could turn on the lights. It's starting to get dark in here.
Thank you, Colonel. If I may, Council President.
Yes.
I think the next item is animal shelter on page 27.
Thank you.
And personnel page on that is page 15.
Personnel 27.
Page 15. And again, this is another department where their budget has decreased almost 2% over last year. Their budget is $223,981. And they do utilize a number of volunteers, and the paid staff and the volunteers truly have compassion and love for the job they do. Even the animal control officers that are on the road, you know, you can see the love in their eyes, and you know, they're concerned for those living creatures that can't speak for themselves, that all bring us joy on many occasions, especially in times such as this, where we've had the last few months, some very difficult times and some difficult times ahead to come. They operate a lot on donations, both veterinary care. They do a terrific job. And again, we get a lot of return for the money invested in that particular department. And that's based on the compassion of the animal control officers to the volunteers that they deliver these animals to Ann Corbin, who has been our director since that department was segregated many years ago. And if anyone's got any questions, be glad to answer them.
Is there any questions regarding the animal shelter, the operation of the animal shelter, the costs associated with the animal shelter, from council members, from members of the public? I don't see any questions from members of the public on the animal shelter budget, so we'll move on, Mayor.
This item would be human services, which appears in your budget book at page 46 to 47, and the personnel page at page 28. Human services, last year was budgeted at $1,287,000. This year it's $1,246,000, a decrease of 3.19%. And again, that is due to the hard work and dedication of the staff of doing more with less. This is another part of government services that people aren't in it for the money. They're in it because of their compassion for what they deliver to the community and people overall. You have to have a certain place in your heart with dealing with those that are in need. I foresee in the future that there will be an increased demand on this department, but I'm hoping that with that increased demand will be federal funding to support the demand necessary, whether it be food, shelter, etc. Again, we're shaving close to the bone, we're cutting close to the bone, and it's working. It's a balancing act where you're delivering services to the community that are entitled to those services, and you're compensating those that you can compensate, and with just not monetary, but self-fulfillment and the duties that they perform.
Is there any questions from council members? Any questions from council members, human services? Any questions from members of the public? I don't see anybody. Any questions from the public? I do see 71 people attending. And if not, we'll move on to the next item there.
And the number I gave you is also for human services, senior center, and senior transportation. Much much needed and well-provided services. And again, we rely on grants and federal subsidies as much as possible too, and we keep seeking them out. The next category would be tourism on page 54. Personnel supplement is 33. And that is approximately a 20% decrease over last year's budget, tourism and development. That we went from 740,000 last year to 594,000 this year. Again, there was a retirement in that department of the tourism director, and that occurred, well, earlier in the year, that she didn't retire earlier in the year. The retirement took place as of May 1st. But as that was going on, this COVID crisis raised its head and totally changed the tourism industry within the state of Rhode Island and the city of Warwick. Our hotels became vacant. Our airport became dormant. Visiting, traveling, all but stopped. I don't have to explain this. Anyone who's lived it knows this. So this, though tourism will remain in place, it will not be a main focus. What the focus will be at this point in time is business development. We're focusing on bringing new businesses or industry to the state of Rhode Island, because we feel that that may be, after this vaccine is ultimately found, a faster route to economic recovery than the tourism, which both the airport and hotel industry and tourism council predict will take anywhere from 3 to 5 years to come back. Time is of the essence. So I think that we should focus. There are some businesses that we have cultivated to come into our community. Things are on hold right now because of what's happening in the world, because being located in our community, they would be attracting people from outside the community for services or education within our community. And unfortunately, that has come to a standstill at this point. But I think that the business development route is a major artery for us to bring back our local economy. Right now, some of our hotels have been occupied by residents that were displaced from other areas. And as a matter of fact, I've spoken to the council president today and we are both working on some legislation to co-sponsor to get additional compensation, since we provide services to those facilities. And we've been paid the hotel tax, so to speak. So the hotel tax, meal taxes, restaurant taxes, a lot of that stuff, we're going to be relying on the General Assembly to hopefully level fund. I'm being optimistic, but that, in addition to compensation for services provided, that's what's going to help develop this community and bring it back. I don't want to just sustain. I want this community to grow. We were on the great path. We had 39 miles of coastline, but beautiful marinas, got the airport, great restaurants. We really were growing and becoming more and more of a drawing card. We've partnered with the city of Providence and worked together on some things and attracting tourism. And unfortunately, COVID-19 did its, you know, it did its damage on us. We have to adapt and we have to change in how we approach bringing new businesses into our community. And new businesses will bring jobs to our community for residents of our community. And that's the direction I think we have to have, in addition to additional tax revenue. But
Mayor Solomon, I would agree with you that we did take quite a substantial hit being the internet, the host city for the international airport. Our hotel and meals tax, which we all know has to be used for tourism, in some ways economic development, took a substantial hit. And it doesn't help when the state asks us, which the city of Warwick did, to step up to the plate to use one of the hotels for COVID rated, COVID, I believe it was patients, or displaced, as the mayor said.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't allow people to rent those hotel rooms. It doesn't allow revenue to come into the city. And that impacts us also. So I too hope that we can be in a position where the state recognizes the sacrifices that the city has made.
It's not what you want to see coming off a plane. And to expand upon that, Council President, there are more than one hotel that's occupied by facilities that were formerly outside of the city. So we're talking a significant amount of revenue and services provided. I was told it was temporary. I haven't been informed that the situations have changed in those different inns, so to speak. But I think that you and I are on the same page when we're seeking out funds that are deserved to the taxpayers and help mitigate our expenses in the city of Warwick for providing services to these three facilities. And again, it's teamwork, legislative, executive, and public safety. Our fire apparatus, our rescue, our police, I mean, they're always monitoring or summoned for assistance at many of these places. And that costs the taxpayers money in the city of Warwick.
Yep, we've talked about this for several years with the bomb squads and SWAT teams that we maintain, whether we use them or not. And then also the joint exercises that we go through with Kent Hospital and the airport. Right. God forbid there's a plane crash. So it's great to say that we haven't used them, but we maintain them. And it'd be nice for the state to continue to recognize the services that we provide to, I think the last time I read an article about it several years ago when we were discussing the expansion of the airport, provides about $7 billion in revenue to the state. I'm not talking about the state as far as taxes go. I'm talking about the amount of revenue it generates for the public and private sector. And it costs money to be prepared for those disasters if they do occur. Using the hotels for other purposes certainly is in the best interest of the state, but hurts us here locally because we have to maintain those services. With that said, are there any council members that have any questions regarding tourism? And for members of the public, this is a line item that's typically generated from hotel and meals tax, which we have to specifically use for that. Some people will remember that many times we use this budget for displays, Mayor, and I don't know what the state of the displays are. I know that we're not able to have the GASVI Day parade this year, and many times we have fireworks associated with things like that. And
4th of July, GASVI Day, this COVID-19 has really curtailed a lot of those historical functions. I call it history because as a child, as families enjoy these things, it's not going to happen this year. And we keep day after day. I wake up in the morning and I hope I'm waking up from a bad dream, but I feel like we're all trapped in the twilight zone until a vaccine's found. And our lifestyles changed how we, every day, how we live has changed. Whether it be simple things we used to take for granted, getting a haircut, going out for a hot wiener, or, you know, going to a restaurant. There's so many things we took for granted in the past that we miss. And I just hope that that we can, you know, that vaccine will be found, and then to where we're restored to a norm that we were used to, or at least our children and our grandchildren will be able to live in a society where they can enjoy some of the things we enjoyed as we grew up and lived in this great state.
So is there any questions on tourism from any council members? Any questions from members of the public on tourism? If not, we'll move on to the next item, which is pensions.
Yes, and I think on the pensions, it's page 72. And I am going to, at this point, of pensions, employee benefits, debt principal interest, fixed cost, I'm going to shift over to our acting finance director.
Okay.
Lynn, do you want to?
Sure.
Okay, because Lynn's got the numbers in front of her.
The budgeted amount is
I'm sorry, let me shut this off. By the way, everyone knows Lynn Proger. She is the acting finance director. I want to wish Brian Sylvia much luck in Smithfield, where he is now the tax collector and finance director out there. And I want to thank him for his years of service to us here in Warwick. I know when I first took office, he was going to go to Coventry, and he stayed with us for a while, and I wish him and his family well. But Lynn is the acting finance director, and she's got the pension numbers, the employee benefit numbers, and at hand. Go ahead, Lynn.
We can't hear Lynn, or at least I can't.
You okay?
The increase year to year is a 3.18% increase, and that is an indication of funding this at 100% the ARC.
Okay, and so when you say you're funding the ARC, this is the annual required contribution.
Correct.
That actuaries have asked to fund the pensions at.
Correct, and this funds that in full.
And that's not assuming, as the school department advised us earlier, a 7% rate of return. As I recall, we were in the sixes.
We're at
6.9, I believe. And Lynn, have we seen any issues with regard to how long people are living, similar to the school department, as far as what their estimates are?
The same as year to year. There hasn't been an increase in longevity, I don't believe.
Actually, maybe I can jump in and help Lynn a little bit here. So I believe on the city side, the actuaries.
Just, Just identify yourself for the record.
This is Michael D'Amico. And I believe on the city side, the actuaries have been updating those charts more frequently than it sounded like. And I don't know how frequently they've been doing it for the schools, but just in listening to Mr. Ferrucci today, it sounds like they perhaps have not been updating those mortality tables as frequently in the school assumptions. So I don't think we will have a similar problem on the city side with the pension fund.
Okay, and obviously, you know, for members of the public, this is based on last year's rate of return. We don't get this year's rate of returns until the fall, I believe, sometime this summer or the fall. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Correct. But I did talk to our financial advisors this afternoon, and we did, well, there was a huge dip in March, but we have picked up quite a bit today, to date,
right.
I should say.
I think the market was up over 500 points, but we started the meeting at, we arrived here, at least I arrived here at 3 o'clock, so I didn't see what it closed at.
It's
up significantly today. I think over 25,000, the Dow. In any event, are there any questions about the pensions, employee benefits from council members? Yes, Councilman Qualley.
Either Mike or Lynn, could you tell me what the rate of return has been over the last 5, 10, and 20 years on our pension funds?
So, Councilman Corley, I happen to have, as of June 30, 2019, what those returns were. And I can read them off to you. It varies slightly by pension plan, but it's, depending on the plan, it's either exactly, over a 10-year period, it's either exactly 9% or 9.1 or 9.2%. And all the plans are invested very, very similarly, so you would expect the returns to be similar. We won't get a full year's report this year until June 30th, but I can say that through March 31st, as everyone is aware, the market was not doing well, and our pension plan saw a significant decrease just like everyone else's. However, I can also say that since March 31st, and I checked this myself today, the S&P 500 is up 16% just in the last 7 weeks. So anything that we had lost through March 31st has all but been regained since then. And I think I'm echoing what Mr. Ferrucci said earlier. He wasn't really worried about the return because the stocks had already bounced back. Even though we haven't seen that in the data yet, we will by year end. But through the end of last year, we were exceeding the rate of return by a couple of percentage points at least.
Michael, I believe the Dow was over 29,000. So, I mean, to say that we've recovered everything, because we're at, the Dow's now at 25,000, I would hesitate to guess is not accurate.
I'm not saying that we are back at our high. I'm saying that we are probably almost back to where we were at June 30th of last year. I don't believe the Dow was at 29,000 at June 30th of last year. So you are correct that we are not back to the high that we achieved in the winter. But I believe that we are almost back, if not all the way back to where we were at year end. So on a fiscal year basis, I don't think that we will see, as of today, again, I don't know what the market might do in the next 5 weeks, and neither does anyone else. But as of today, unfortunately, we can't get a daily update on the pension plan. That's just not how it works. But I think as of today, we're more or less back to where we were in terms of the asset return at June 30th of last year. But you are correct. We're not nearly as high as it was, say, in December.
And I know Councilman Lattisaw has been working on the pension review committee, and his work is very much appreciated there. I know that you folks have really been pushing your advisors with regard to rates of return, and that board, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Councilman, has been looking at ways to improve and manage rates of return compared to the last administration. And I know I appreciate all his hard work on that board. Are there any other comments? Councilman Ricks.
Good evening. Let's see. I'm looking at line items, of course, on page 72. Line items 85173 and 85176, police 2 and fire 2 pensions. I saw a difference between the department requested budget and the mayor's proposed budget. It was my understanding from what Lynn said that the mayor's proposed budget is their annual required contributions, but I was wondering why there was a difference between that and the requested.
With regard to fire, fire was assuming that they were going to have a class of firefighters, we did not in the end budget that class for a lot of reasons, one of which is with COVID, we're not sure we could even have a fire training academy right now. And so their request, when they had done up their own numbers, included pension costs for that new class. And we did not need to include that because there is no new class here. The police number, you can see, is not nearly as big a change. The fire is a $500,000 reduction from their request. The police is just about $60,000. And I think that was just a minor correction of the number they submitted, whereas our number is more precise.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions from council members?
Yes, Mr. President, I have a question for Mr. D'Amico.
Councilman Lattisa.
Yes, Mr. D'Amico, you indicated that the fire department had proposed a class and we're not doing it. And that is the result of the $500,000 reduction. So is it safe to assume that there will not be a class of firefighters in 2021 fiscal year that will require that $500,000?
I'd say that at the time the department did their budget, and they can certainly explain this to you when we get to the fire department budget, but at the time they did it, it was before COVID when they submitted their budget. So the world was very different. In the aftermath of everything, yes, it seemed impossible to the administration that we would be able to run the academy in the way that we need to in the midst of COVID. And so that has been, any talk of that has been postponed for the fiscal year, fiscal 21. There will be no firefighters hired in fiscal 21.
Thank you for that clarification.
Are there any other questions from council members? Any other questions from members of the public? If not, I don't see any. We'll move on to the next line item, Mayor.
Jean usually does employee benefits.
She should be on the line.
If she's not on the line, we can do it.
Yeah, just go west.
Okay. Okay.
What page number?
That would be page 66 to 67.
The next line item is employee benefits. It's essentially FICA, Medicare, healthcare, dental, life insurance, and a few other small benefit programs. And you can see that this year, last year's budget, and I should explain something in this budget. Last year's budget was $29.8 million in total for this grouping. This year's budget is $28.6 million, a reduction of $1.2 million. However, if you look at the column titled Proposed Amendment, you will see that it's only $29.1 million fiscal 20. And so the actual year-on-year decrease is only $500,000. The reason for that change between the last year's approved budget and the proposed amended budget is the last line item on page 66, city contractual obligation, and it's $733,000. And if I'm sure everyone recalls, at the time of the firefighter contract, I was asked if we had accounted for the raise that the firefighters might get through arbitration. And at the time, I said that, yes, we had accounted for it, but it was not in the fire department, and it had been buried in another part of the budget so as not to be so easily identifiable in an arbitration. This is that number. That $733,000 was the money that was set aside for any raise that the firefighters were awarded in arbitration. They have now been awarded that, and as such, you will see when we get to fire, we are now proposing that that money, which had been budgeted in this department, is moved to the department where it belongs, the fire department. And so to truly compare this department, this year's true budget was $29,100,000 for benefits. And next year's number is coming year, fiscal 21 is $28,600,000. So a $500,000 decrease.
Mr. President.
That will appear in tomorrow's budget when we go to fire too.
Councilman Lattisaw.
Mr. D'Amico, so I think I just heard you say that $733,000, which was in this year's budget, was moved to the fire department's budget for fiscal year 2021?
In fiscal 20, and you will see this in the budget when we do the fire budget, the proposed amendment column for fire shows that 733 being reclassified. So this was budgeted for fire all along. It just was not put in that department so as to disguise it in an arbitration. But that's really where it has always belonged. And so it has been moved back, or is proposed to move back, in the amended fiscal 20 budget.
And if I may interrupt through the chair, Councilman Lattiser, relative to the resolution, relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations and emergency appropriations, you'll see that correction done on line 35105 from fire department salaries, increasing 733104, and employee benefits, city contractual obligations, decreasing 733104. So the classifications reflect the actual expenditure.
So is that $733,000, that's a number that was not used in this fiscal year, but is going to be transferred into the new fiscal year? Is that
No.
That was a number that was, we needed the contingency number for the unsettled contract that was occurring before we took office. If you recall, we entered in a contract, but there was still a contract in arbitration that commenced long before our arrival. That was under the prior administration, and it was in the hands of the arbitrator. We knew something was going to be awarded. We didn't know how much. But assuming that it stayed uniform with the contractual obligations of other bargaining groups, that money had to be put aside. And the bottom line is, when the money was put aside, it was put aside in a way where it didn't affect or slant the decision as to how the arbitration would go. It's much easier to play that hand without showing resources and where they are than it is to play the hand showing all your resources. It's like going to an auction and bidding against yourself, Councilman.
But it has not been moved into the fiscal 21 budget. It was in the fiscal 20 budget. It remains in the fiscal 20 budget. It's just been transferred from this line item,
line A to line B,
to the fire department budget, where it was intended to be used all along, but we just did not want it to be so obvious to an arbitrator.
Correct.
So what we have here is $733,000 that was in the budget, and line item 12382 for a fire study of $250,000 that was in the budget, for a total of $1 million in those two items. Is that correct?
Well, what is correct, Councilman, is that $250,000 is in the budget, and that's not allocated for anything, and it remains in the coffers, the city's coffers. And that will draw down to the bottom line and as we go forward. But no, there was nothing hidden, Councilman. It was there. It was a strategic move, I guess, based on my part. Like I said, I don't know how you play cards, but I don't show all my cards to my opponent, especially when I'm negotiating or entering to litigation or arbitration.
I'm all set, Mr. President.
President.
Councilman Cawley.
I have a question for the mayor and Mr. D'Amico. And that is, I understand your explanation concerning the reason why the money was placed where it was within the budget to help us in the future when the question came up, or if it came up in an arbitration. And I certainly applaud you for your being your forthrightfulness in saying this, but being a trial attorney, does this cause you any concern for the future when there is an arbitration, if someone has to give a deposition, that now this will be known as a good strategy for a city to take and being asked whether...
I can answer that, Councilman Cawley.
Okay.
It probably does. However, Councilman Lattiser asked me a question that I wanted to answer truthfully, and I answered truthfully. That appears in a piece of legislation, the number exactly, on something that full council will be voting on. So there's nothing covert about it. It's out in the open. There's nothing sinister or hidden about it. It's something that... It's something that, you know, when you're dealing with contracts and you're negotiating, I go in to purchase a new house, or I go in to purchase new windows. I don't go to the guy, tell me how much it is, I'm going to pay you whatever I want to, whatever you tell me to pay you. I'm going to say, I got X amount of dollars. Those are my resources. Can we do business? As a business person, that's the way I think, as any other business person thinks. To say that there's something improper or nefarious about this, it wouldn't be on this sheet of paper, and I would not have answered truthfully as I did to the question posed by Councilman Lattiser.
Mayor, I did not mean to say
that. I know you did. But what you stated, Councilman, was, is this going to affect future negotiations? Yes. It shows how I play my cards. So yes, if I'm in future negotiations with these people, then yeah, they're going to know some of my tactics. And of course, that puts me on a different type of strength aspect. But I was posed a question by Councilman Lattiser, and I answered that question truthfully. That appears in a piece of legislation that all of you will be voting on, hopefully in the affirmative, and that I will be signing.
Okay, well, I don't know what you're referring to, but I never meant to say that using a good strategy to protect the city's finances is something that is nefarious. It's just that once I heard when Mr. D'Amico explained that that was always in the budget, but it was placed there for reasons relating to any potential arbitration, I thought that disclosure might tie the hands of the city in the future. And I'm sure that Mr. D'Amico will be able to figure out something in the future to be able to handle those things, because he's a lot better at that than I am.
Yes, and you're absolutely right, Councilman Cawley, it did. But you made no mention of another figure that another inquisition made by someone else relative to another 200 something thousand. That, where did that go? I resent that. And I think the people that make that statement know I resent it very much.
I understand that. I was not going down that road at all. I was just trying.
I know.
Okay, well, I wasn't. You said I was trying to be nefarious. I was
no,
not.
No, I wasn't trying to be nefarious, I said.
So let's move on a little bit here, but I was going to say on the subject that when you're negotiating contracts, and in particular what the city council can do and what it can't do with regard to positions, this council can budget items for positions to be filled or not to be filled. And we've done that over the years. But whoever the mayor is has the power to either fill or not fill those positions, depending on the state of the economy, in this case, COVID-19, where we're facing 25% unemployment nationally, or not fill positions. And as I go through this budget, I see that an austerity posture has been taken with regard to not filling positions almost uniformly across the board. And I realize that that certain individuals in different collective bargaining agreements, which I'm not going to get into, believe certain positions should be filled and certain positions should not be filled. I would just remind everybody that no matter what this council does, it does not have the power to force any mayor, whether it be this one, the next one, or mayors in the past, to fill or not fill positions. That's within the discretion of the executive branch and not us. With that said, we are...
thank you, Mr. President. That would bring us to the, I believe, the last item, boards and commissions.
Yes, and we don't have any questions, although we did have a question here, a written question, which is how much money is in our general fund?
How much
money is in our general fund? It was a written question.
I'll defer to Michael.
Okay.
The question's not 100% clear, so I'm going to assume the person means at the conclusion of our most recent audit, and not as of this second today. Because really the right answer is as of your most recent year end. So as of the most recent year end, we had approximately $31 million as a fund balance in the general fund. To ask how much you have in your general fund on a given day is impossible to answer. We take in taxes every day, we pay bills every day. That number goes up and down each hour. But as of the prior year end, it was approximately $31 million of fund balance.
And there was also
that was pre-COVID.
Right. There was also another written question, which I don't think anybody could answer, which is what are the chances of receiving level funded state aid for education? That was also a written question. I mean, I think that's looking into a crystal ball. I don't know how you would answer that other than by guessing.
Maybe the powers that be up at the State House can work on that.
Yeah. And there was one other written question, which is a question that is the subject of a matter which is in a matter involving employment, which is a matter involving litigation, which we cannot discuss. But those were the three written questions. And I don't see any other questions. So you are correct, Mayor. We are on to boards and commissions.
Mr. President, I have a follow-up to your...
Yes, go ahead, Councilman Larson.
This would be for Mr. D'Amico. Mr. D'Amico, you had said that the total fund balance was 31 million, approximately 31 million. Could you tell us what the difference is between the unassigned fund balance and the total fund balance?
I believe the unassigned fund balance is approximately $27 million. I can look that number up to be sure. And the total fund balance is $31 million. So there's approximately a $4 million difference between the unassigned and the total.
And what's the definition of the unassigned balance? I mean, there's a $4 million difference there, as you said.
An assigned fund balance means that it has already been designated for a specific purpose. And I would have to look and see what purposes those $4 million were assigned for at last June 30th. Sometimes it's for education. Sometimes it's for a specific capital item. I'd have to go look and see what that was. The other $27 million is unassigned. It has not been assigned to a purpose. It can be used for any purpose. It literally is what it says. It's unassigned.
Correct. And that's so actually, the unassigned fund balance of $27 million is what we can spend, or what we can draw down.
If I may interrupt or expand upon this, Councilman Lattiser, we're dealing with figures as of the end of last fiscal year. A lot has transpired since the last fiscal year. With the COVID virus and everything going on, I can assure you that all funds that were there last fiscal year are not there this year. Because as you know, we haven't been reimbursed for 10 cents from the federal government relative to emergency expenditures that we've had to make to deal with these items. So that didn't come from the sky, and you can be assured that the balance you're referring to isn't the balance that exists today. And we'll find that out at the end of this fiscal year when the audit's complete. And after we see how much or what percentage the federal government or the state, for that matter, reimburse us for the expenses we've incurred. So we're dealing, I hear numbers flying across the room here, but those numbers are not substantive numbers at this point in time.
I'm not throwing numbers across the room, Mr. Mayor. I'm
no, I didn't know question. That you were, I, that Michael question. Also mentioned numbers.
I'm asking Michael also question. Mentioned numbers.
I just want to clarify the point, Councilman.
That's fine. I was simply asking a question about the difference between unassigned and total fund balance. Thank you.
Yes, and I'm talking about the amount that you both of you are referring to.
I'm referring to the numbers that are in.
No, I know you didn't say anything about the amount. I apologize.
So, and I would also point out, if Michael wants to jump in on the mayor also, that the city, which everybody forgets, is required to maintain a certain amount.
10%, Mr. President, you're right.
In reserve. So 10%.
$32 million.
So that's what we're required to maintain. Otherwise, we're in jeopardy of our interest rates on bonds and things like that going up.
So, exactly. You're exactly correct.
So it's great to have numbers that went up in the general fund. That's good news. But to say that we're at the level that we need to be at would be an inaccurate statement. It's better than it was last year.
That's right. We're headed in the right direction.
It's not where it needs to be. And I would agree, I'm very concerned, and we haven't talked about, Mayor Solomon, revenue after this COVID-19 crisis where the state of revenue is going to be, because we did offer residents and businesses alike a month delay in their payment of their taxes. And as you know, many people were unemployed and many businesses had to shut down. And that's also going to impact the ability of the city to react and to respond to whatever the crisis of the day is. I think there are a lot of, I would agree, there's a lot of moving pieces there.
There are. And I thank you for being perceptive of that fact and compassionate of that fact, because we would have been in a lot greater shape had we not dealt with COVID-19 in the past and what it holds for the future. That is the big question mark. And I'd rather be in a situation where, yes, we didn't have our 10% reserve account, but we've got some reserve account, because there's a lot of other cities and towns in this state that don't take the austerity posture that you and I took over the years and worked hard to shave dollars where we could shave dollars, worked hard to come in with a no tax increase budget. You know, that working with the council, working with our directors, we were able to accomplish this. I'm not going to get negative, but I will get angry when it's necessary. And I think we're heading in the right direction. I can tell you other cities and towns wish they were Warwick. We've taken the lead on so many initiatives, whether it be closing malls, whether it be closing parks, whether we took the lead on a lot of these things. I didn't go out there and wave a flag. Other cities and towns followed. And it's a good feeling when other cities and towns are following what Warwick's doing. Some of them may have 0% tax increase. However, they don't enjoy the strength that we've been able to pull together here in the city of Warwick to afford what we've done. Thank you, Mr. President.
All right, and is there any other questions on, we're on boards and commissions? If not, any questions from the public? Mr. Mayor, there was a question again about budget shortfalls and hiring employees or not hiring employees in the climate of the COVID crisis. But I think that that's, again, a subject, and I'm losing the words that I'm trying to, rather than arbitration, a grievance, that's the word that I'm looking for. That's the subject of a grievance right now as to what your decision was in the middle of the crisis, rather than fill positions or to not fill positions.
And again, Mr. President, it wasn't my decision. It was the overwhelming vote of the rank and file of that union. I don't know how things were explained to them, but they voted to go that avenue. I didn't make that decision.
Okay, and I'm trying to take advice from our city council attorney also. So with that said, boards and commissions are finished. That's what's been advertised for today. If there is no further questions from council members or the public, I'd entertain a motion to continue the public hearing to tomorrow at 4:00. Councilman Lattiser, if you could make that.
Make a motion to continue the public hearing till tomorrow afternoon at 4:00. That will be the 27th.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second, Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Howe.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. The council stands adjourned on the budget until tomorrow at 4 p.m. Have a good evening.
You too.